Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. This is Scott Reich of Crime Talk, and the jury has been selected in the Amber Geiger case in Dallas, Texas, and Patrick Frazee's defense attorneys didn't file any alternate suspect notice. Let's talk about it. Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. This is Scott Reich of Crime Talk, and thank you for tuning in for another episode of Crime Talk. We could not do this without you. We appreciate you. If you like the channel, please hit the subscribe button. If you like our video, hit the thumbs up, and please leave us a comment. Today on the docket, the Amber Geiger case in Dallas, Texas. A Dallas jury has been selected to hear the case of Amber Geiger. Amber Geiger is the former Dallas police officer who was accused of shooting Botham Jean when she went into his apartment by mistake, ultimately shooting him. Now, this case originally was charged as a manslaughter case, but when the elections were held in 2018 and the new district attorney came on, they resubmitted the case to the grand jury and first-degree murder charges were brought down against her. The trial is actually scheduled to commence on September 23rd, and the jury may, in fact, be sequestered. In this particular case, the defense had argued for a change of venue, hoping to move it out of the Dallas area. However, the judge wanted to wait and see if they were able to select a jury. Some 400-plus potential jurors were brought in, and ultimately a jury was selected after a week of reviewing questionnaires and speaking to the jurors individually. One of the key pieces of evidence that the jury is going to have to consider in the Amber Geiger case is the 911 call that she placed immediately after Botham Jean was shot. Now, take a listen to this excerpt of the 911 call. Let me know whether you think this is, in fact, a woman who's made a terrible mistake, or is this the voice of a woman who has done something much more nefarious and trying to make excuses to get out of it? Let me know what you think.
Dallas 911, this is Carla. Where's your emergency?
Hi, this is an off-duty officer. Can I get, I need emails. I'm in number.
What's your address? Do you need police as well or just EMS?
Yes, I need both.
Okay, what's the address?
I'm at apartment number 1478. I'm in 1478.
And what's the address there?
It's 1210 South Lamar, 1478. Yeah.
What's going on?
I'm an off-duty officer. I thought it was in my apartment, and I shot a guy thinking it was my apartment.
He shot someone?
Yes, I thought it was my apartment. I'm fucked. Oh, my God. I'm sorry.
Okay, and where are you at right now?
I'm in, what do you mean? I'm inside the apartment with him. Hey, come on.
What's your name?
I'm Amber Geiger.
Okay, we have help on the way.
I know, but I'm going to lose my job. I thought it was my apartment.
Okay, and hey, hold on.
Fuck.
Okay, stay with me, okay?
I am. I need a supervisor. Hey, bud. Come on. Oh, fuck. I thought it was my apartment.
I understand. We have help on the way.
Okay, we have
several more.
Hurry, please.
They're on their way.
I thought it was my apartment. I could have sworn I parked on the third floor.
Okay, I understand.
No. I thought it was my apartment.
And what's the gate code there?
I don't know.
You don't know? Okay.
I need them. I thought it was my apartment.
They're trying to get in there. We have an officer there. You don't know the gate code?
No. I thought it was my apartment.
Okay, and what floor are you in right now?
The fourth floor. Fourth. Hey, bud, they're coming, they're bud. I'm sorry, man.
Okay, where was he shot?
He's on the top left.
Okay, you're with Dallas PD, right?
Yes. Oh my God, I'm done. I didn't mean to. I'm so sorry. Hey, bud.
They're trying to get there to you, okay?
I know. Stay with me, bud. Holy fuck.
Okay, they're almost there. They're already there. They're trying to get to you.
Holy fuck. I thought it was my apartment. Holy fuck. I thought it was my apartment. Oh my God. Fuck. I'm so sorry. Oh my God.
Okay, they're trying to get there to you. Do you hear them? Do you see them?
No. No. I said, how the fuck did I get out of there? How did I get out of this floor? I'm so tired. Hurry. Over here.
Okay, go ahead and talk to
him. No, it's me. I'm off duty. I thought they were in my apartment. I thought this was my floor.
Of the initial wave of jurors, when asked how many had not heard a single thing about this case, some 10 potential jurors raised their hand. I've mentioned this previously when we talked about this case, that you would be surprised how many people simply do not listen or watch the news in any way. And it's very rare for a case to have a change of venue granted, particularly in a large jurisdiction, because you're going to find people who know nothing about the case. Second, it doesn't matter whether people have knowledge of the case. It's whether that they can be fair and impartial jurors. That's the key. Now, a jury was ultimately selected, and for someone that does a lot of trial work, this is the most important part of the trial. The jury selection process is called voir dire. It's a French word that means to speak the truth, because the potential jurors have to speak the truth as to whether they can be truly fair and impartial to both sides, so that each side receives a fair and impartial jury. So at the end of the day, win, lose, or draw, either side can say, we had our day in court, we had a fair jury who listened to the evidence, made their decision based upon the evidence that was presented, the legal and competent evidence that's presented, not what you hear in the news media, not what you hear from your neighbors speculating about what the case could be. It's based upon legal and competent evidence that is admissible under the rules of evidence. So a good juror is one that really doesn't know anything about the case or has not formed an opinion about the case. They can reserve judgment until they hear all the evidence in the case, and then make their decision based upon the legal instructions the court gives them and the evidence, basically applying the facts to the law given to them by the judge, making their decision with neither passion nor prejudice to either side, simply making a decision whether the prosecution has proven their case to each and every element of the offense beyond a reasonable doubt. In the jury selection process, both sides, prosecution and defense, can always challenge jurors for cause. And cause can be whether they have a bias in the case, if they've already formed an opinion about the case, whether they've already formed an opinion about the prosecution or the defense, or if they know any witnesses, or if there's something about them that just isn't going to allow them to be fair and impartial. Normally, it comes down to people that have been victims of a similar situation at trial, or they have already formed an opinion about the case. Once both sides have made their challenges for cause and any potential jurors have been removed and new jurors are potentially put in, or new jurors are put in, then the process of whittling down that potential jury panel to 12 people plus an alternate, once all the challenges for causes have been ruled upon, the judge, if any jurors were in fact excused for cause, a new juror will come in and the attorneys will have an opportunity to question those potential jurors to see if there's any basis for cause. Once that process is complete, the court then has to whittle down that much larger panel that's sitting in the box and usually outside of the box down to 12 jurors plus any alternates that may be sitting in a particular case. At that point, the prosecution and the defense can use peremptory challenges, and they can use their peremptory challenge for any basis that they feel appropriate, with two exceptions. You can't excuse somebody because of their race, and you can't excuse somebody because of their gender. You would have to make what they call a Batson challenge and saying, if your defendant is of a particular minority race, and the, let's say, for example, the prosecution wants to get rid of all of the potential jurors of that particular minority race, a Batson challenge would be made, and the judge should not allow that. Most good prosecutors will simply say, my case is so overwhelming, give me the first 12 jurors, and let's go try this thing. That's what a great prosecutor will do, because it doesn't matter. They are so confident of their case that the facts simply cannot be ignored. The defense as well, but you have those peremptory challenges, and you can get rid of them for any reason. It could just be you don't like the way that the juror was burning holes in your client with their eyes. It could be an answer that they are really too busy. They just don't want to be here. Or what we sometimes refer to as plant life. They will simply go whichever way the sun is shining and is really not a leader, but simply a follower. And that depends on the case, whether you in fact want them there. Once those jurors are selected, they are there. They cannot discuss the facts of the case with their potential jurors until the evidence is closed. And it seems somewhat ironic because you get all these people together to discuss a particular event, i.e. the trial, but yet they can't talk about the whole purpose of why they're there until it's over. But you will find jurors actually usually become very close and very tight during that process, because they get to spend literally 8 hours together. They spend their breaks together. Some of them go to lunch together. And then ultimately, they'll deliberate together. And jurors I have seen actually have reunions of cases that they've sat on. And sometimes, if there's a conviction, they show up to the sentencing as well. Jurors usually get the decision correct, and their decision usually should not be second-guessed by people who were not there. I have won trials I should have lost, and I have lost some that I thought that I, frankly, should have won. But you never know what jurors make their decisions upon. It depends on the personalities in that jury room. So it is a unique dynamic. I've never served on a jury, but I encourage all of you, if you have served on a jury, to do so. I have never met anybody that has been truly disappointed by their time serving on a jury. It is a good way to see the process, how it works, and some people you thought would never say not guilty on a case, in fact, oftentimes do. And As an attorney, I am not precluded from serving on a jury. I have never been selected. I've only been called once, and I never made it actually up to the courtroom to begin jury selection. I have seen multiple times judges who have served on juries. They have not been the foreperson of the jury. In fact, they kind of sat back and didn't really voice their opinion until everyone else had kind of let it be known what they chose to do. And the two cases that I'm aware about where the judge sat on the jury, where the judges sat on a jury, they were both not guilty. In fact, our question for the day is, if you've served on a jury, what kind of case was it, and was it a good learning experience for you? The next matter on the docket today is the Patrick Frazee case. This case is scheduled to start in October, and there were some concerns that if the defense were to endorse an alternate suspect in this particular case, that it would delay the proceedings. The defense was given until 11:59 p.m. yesterday to file their response, they were given until 11:59 p.m. to file any notice of an alternate suspect. They did not file that notice. Now, the alternate suspect doesn't mean that they still can't point their finger at Nurse Lee. Absolutely, they can. She was allegedly there by her own statements, and she had the opportunity to do that. Usually, alternate suspect is when you're saying there is a person who lives in the neighborhood who has been convicted of similar crimes in the past, and we believe that person is the one to have done it. But you can't just go around accusing everybody of a crime, even though we have limited exposure. You can't just go around accusing random people of a crime, saying that they're, in fact, the real murderer. You can't do that. You have to let the other side, the prosecution, know if that's the case. I've only had this opportunity come up once in a particular case, and it was a series of aggravated robberies where someone wound up being paralyzed, and we were investigating various other potential people who could have been in the same scenario. The judge ultimately denied that particular alternate suspect defense, and probably he was correct. Now, what does that mean for the Patrick Frazee defense as it relates to the alleged disappearance of Kelsey Barrett? Well, they have two defenses that I believe that they're going to stick to, and they have to pick one. They can go in the alternative, but I believe that it's best to pick a horse and ride it. So they either have to go with, one, Ms. Barrett is not deceased, or two, that if Ms. Barrett is in fact deceased, Mr. Frazee is not the one who did it. Because the jury instructions will say that the prosecution has to prove, beyond a reasonable doubt, unanimously to that jury of 12 people, that it was, in fact, Patrick Frazee. Not someone looked like him, not someone using his identity, not somebody associated with him, i.e. Nurse Lee, but it was, in fact, him that caused her death. So the defense can still point their finger at Nurse Lee in this particular situation without raising the alternate suspect defense. We'll see what they're going to do in the next couple of weeks. We're still waiting to see if there's any new information regarding the alleged fragments of human bone and or teeth that were found out at the Frazee property. But as of now, that information has not been released. Thinking was that if it was in fact good for the prosecution, we would already know about it. It's kind of funny how those leaks just happen to come about when there's some good information for the prosecution. Thank you for tuning in today. We appreciate all you do. We still are very thankful for all of the subscribers that have continued to subscribe to our channel. We know that it could not be done without you. We are always striving to do something better for you each and every day, and we hope that you are, in fact, satisfied. Please hit that subscribe button, hit that little bell so you receive notifications of future content coming out or when we go live. You can check us out on Patreon, which is Crime Talk, hosted by Scott Reich. And you can also follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and all the links are below. Have a great day.